Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we dwelt on the subject of God. That God is the ultimate goal of all religions. All masters who came in the past, they gave out about the existence of God in various ways, to the best they could. Because you see, the limitless, infinite cannot be put in finite terms, you see. But anyhow, to the best they could, they did explain about the existence of God, you see, in their own ways. And of course, in the languages which were prevalent at the time when they did visit the earth. You see. They left us a fine record of the valuable experiences they had with themselves and with God. So all masters who came in the past, each one of them left us some heritage, I would say, in the form of Holy Scriptures. So all those scriptures are so many pages of the Book of God that have been written so far, and there may many more be written, you see. Whenever the Master will come, they will speak about God, you see, and about the experiences they have with Him, just to show other people that there is some reality, you see, which the Masters who came in the past, they did contact, and their scriptures which they left with us, they are parallel on the subject, you see. A comparative study of religion showed us that all masters had to say the same thing practically about the essential parts of the religion. They all did say there is one God. They all said God is light. They all did say, well, we have seen God and bear testimony to it. They did say, in their own words, of course, that God knows the pole at which He works, the Son of Man, you see. And the pole at which God works, who is the mouthpiece of God, He knows about the Father. And others whom the Son of Man reveals, you see. A teacher of a man is naturally a man, you see. If we say we don't need any teacher, then in that case we need books. Well, of course, books were written by somebody. Books give only what the writer says, you see. So if we don't need any man, we need books. If we need books, that means we need somebody. Well, you go through books, you got some doubt in you, well, books cannot speak. Again, you have to run up to somebody who knows something on the way, just to reconcile, or the author of it. Well, author has left the body. Who can you consult? Naturally, some other body who is conversant, adept on this, in the subject about which you have read in the book. So this is what was the subject yesterday, first, that there is a reality. The truth is one. It has never changed, you see. The same truth was in the beginning, in the middle, and even now. The natural laws do not change. Natural laws do not change, you see. Whenever masters came, they simply revived that truth which was the old, old one. They never invented any new thing, because God is the same reality they experienced to whatever extent they did give references to what they had experienced with that reality. For instance, this is a building, you see, so many of you have come here. If you belong to various countries, you go back, you write in your own language of the country to which you belong, just a description of this building. Well, selling points will agree, no doubt. But there may be some, minor things about which one may have said something, the other may have omitted altogether. The third one may have been more description, glowing account of that, you see. The man who had not seen this building, he simply reads those books written by those who have gone back. Naturally, he cannot reconcile at times what it is, how is it. But those books you read out with while sitting at the feet of somebody who has seen this building, in that case, he will say, oh yes, I have seen this means that thing. There is no doubt about it. Similarly, all these scriptures we can read, but the right import thereof we cannot understand at times until we hear those scriptures from somebody who has had that experience with the Self and with God. So religion was, what may be said, an endless experiment with truth, you see, which prophets gave out, and all masters who came in the past, they gave out. All the known truths, I will say, may be taken as pebbles on the seashore of God, you see. And the more you advance, the more greater that reality appears to be, you see. If you just scale it with the finite intellect we have got, we'll say something about it, but we cannot say everything. And you see, that subject of God still remains as fresh as ever. We've got so many scriptures from all prophets and masters and teachers and sages who came in the past. With all that, the subject of God is still unsaid, you see. And that will remain unsaid even. However, I think the same number who have come in the past, I think 100-fold times more number if they come up again, even then the subject is unsaid and will remain unsaid. That was the subject of the yesterday. Well, God made man. Then we came up to the subject that God made man, you see. Man was given equal privileges by all, by nature. There's no difference between the east or west, you see, and north or south. No difference whether you belong to one social religion or the other. After all, who are you? You are a man, you see. Man has the same privileges from God as any other man. So all mankind is one. Man is the highest of all creation, you see. And it is said when the body of man was created, you see, and the life was infused into it, God ordered angels to bow to the man body. So great is man. For the reason God resides in man, well, macrocosm is in the microcosm. If you know how to go within and gauge or fathom the mystery lying within, you know still more from day to day that greater still grows still greater, you see. So that was further subject we dealt with yesterday. God made man and man made social religions. Social religions were made for the uplift of man. We had to make the best use of them. these are meant in no way as, excuse me, as fetters to bind men to one prison or the other. That is only for the uplift of man, you see. Just as Christ said, you see, Sabbath was made for man, and man was not made for Sabbath. We have to make the best use of the Sabbath day. The whole controversy arose from there, you see. Then Christ did say, well, look here, one of the sheep of your flock is just go astray, would you not be after finding out that astray sheep? But those who just simply followed the letter of the rule, they were just blindfolded, they would not listen to that, and they raised a hue and cry against Christ, you see. Ultimate result was that he was put to the cross. And anyhow, we are not entering into that way, but only to show that these religions, so to say, were made for the uplift of man. The wrong way of preaching has set one social religion against the other. The purpose was to make the best use, just like as a midwife would help in bringing up children at the time of birth. Similarly, the social religions were helping factor on the way. This is a preparatory ground, because man is social, you see. He has to live in some social body, and for that reason certain rules, certain ways were set, so that the man may have this peaceful earthly sojourn, you see. Man may become a world citizen. This is the outlook of man, which we had yesterday. But still greater than another thing is the higher values of life. Man is composed of physical body and astral body and causal body. These are the vestures. These are according to the planes in the cosmos, you see, in the macrocosm. These were given for the purpose that whenever man would like, he may work in the physical plane through the physical body. And if he would like to just transcend that thing through the astral body, he may work through the astral plane, and further through the causal body, through the causal plane, and then even transcend all these and know oneself and ultimately know God. That was the purpose. But pity it is that we have only stuck fast in the physical body alone. We do not know whether there is something beyond it or not, you see. So we have to just unfathom this mystery, you see, unravel this mystery which we have. So man is composed of physical body, intellect and soul. Well, physical body is a very valuable thing, you see. It is really, truly speaking, the temple of God. Outer temples were made after the image of man, you see, dome-shaped and nose-shaped. We had to just enter inside to find ourselves and to find God, both together, living in the same house, I would say. Pity it is that one has not the opportunity just to first find himself and then to see other. One Mohammedan saint said that whatever I think we have done with our own self, no, even a blind man has not done with himself, you see, because the indweller of the house we have not seen. It is there, but we do not see. That's a pity. So this is a subject, you see. Whenever we do read scripture, you see, people do preach us. But whenever you ask, well, what is what, they simply quote verse books to you, you see. The main thing lies, our own experience should say about God and about the other world, and not that certain prophet or book says so, you see. They are helping factors. By reading those books we come to the conclusion that there's a life beyond, that you are the indweller of the house, of the body which you're carrying, you see. There are greater possibilities within you. You can see God also resides in you, if you but know yourself, you will be able to know God. These are things given in the books. But the point arises, have you ever entered this body inside to see that you are the indweller of this house? Have you ever analyzed to see all that? If so, well and good. Otherwise, you have been reading books so far, but you know little or nothing about these things. So that is why the masters lay great stress on that, you see. You must be able to see for your own self what is what. You need not quote only books and scriptures, or some prophet, or some master who came in the past that he has to say so much like that. But it is you who should say what is your experience with yourself with God. Generally when we ask somebody, well, is there a God? And what do the people say? Well, yes, Bible says so. Quran of the Prophet Muhammad says so. Sixth scripture says so. Such and such master or sage or the rishi who came in the past, he says so. Well, what have you to say on this subject? That's the point. They say so, that is correct. No doubt about it. But have you got any experience with yourself or God? Simply reading out scriptures is not the only thing required, I would say. I put it in a very mild way, you see. That is the elementary step. But what is given in the scriptures, first you must be able to understand what is there. That is the first thing. But pity it is, I tell you, these are the practical experiences of those masters who came in the past with their self and with God. Practical, how they analyze self from the outer body and the environments, how they knew themselves, and then what experience they had with God, they gave out a very glowing account of all that, you see. This is their statement, not yours. We will simply say, well, look here, sun rises at the definite time, you see, daily. Seasons change at their particular periods. Well, there's a watch, you see, that is just wound up somewhere after 48 hours, after 24 hours, sometimes after a week, sometimes a month. There's a maker of such a watch. So as a matter of inference, this great creation of the world must be some maker at the back of it, you see. This is what they have to say. As a matter of inference, they come to some conclusion that there is a God. But if you come across somebody, to the masters I tell you, you put them the question, well, is there a God? What have they to say? This question was put to, I say, Christ. He said, behold the Lord. He did not give any reasoning for that. He says, behold the Lord. That very question was put to Guru Nanak. Well, is there a God? Yes, I see my God everywhere. Then how can you see God, he says? He said, those eyes are different with which you can see God. They don't give any as a matter of inference, you see. They see, they are competent to show others. Open though that particular eye which he can be seen, you see. Vast difference between the two. In those books, those scriptures which give an account of the experiences of the masters who came in the past, if you read only at the feet of somebody who has got experience that way, he will give you the right import of things, you see. If you hear those books, those scriptures from mere intellectual men who have got no knowledge of the practical side of things, he has never come about the body consciousness, his inner eye has never been open to see the light of God, and he has not been able to transcend into beyond and traverse higher. Well, if he hears from such a man, he will simply give some statements, you see, only in an intellectual way. There may be many more things which he would not be able to explain. Or he says, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What interpretation and only an intellectual man can give about it. So this is a practical side of things. So my point is that if you want to just understand the true import of the scriptures at our hand today, then we should just sit by somebody who has got experience, practical experience of that, first hand. He will give you the right import of things. So such people, you see, masters, whenever they come, they simply give an account of their experiences, which are parallel, as given in all scriptures we have now. The ultimate goal of all religions is to just produce perfect men. Be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. Kabir, who is considered to be the father of spirituality in the East, he says, well, what should a man should be like? He says, first, by example, he says, let us be like a cloud of earth. Then he says, a cloud of earth just hurt the birds, you see. Then he goes on, let it be like a dust. So he says that it also be serious clothing, you see. Then he said, no, let it be like water, you see. He says, that is also not the good idea, because water sometimes gets cold, sometimes warm, changes. The people ask him, after all, we should have some ideal before us. He said, well, man should be like perfect as God himself, you see. All masters to say that perfection is our goal, you see. And nature extends equal privileges to all men alike. As man is social, he has to live in some social body. The social body was made for the uplift of man. We had to make the best use of all of them. That is what is given out by the scriptures. They all say that God is one, you see. He resides in every heart, so all mankind is alike. We have to love God and love all humanity, you see. These two commandments, if we live up to them, you see, there is peace on earth. The kingdom of God will come on earth, you see. We are simply reading out are considering by lips only. You see, we are not living up to it. If you love God and God desires in every heart, then how can you, well, kill them, steal them, you see, rob them of their possessions, and do any harm to them? No, you never think of it. That is, you find in very social religion there are some rituals and ceremony. What do they say? Well, amongst the Hindu, you will find they consider it a very sacred thing. You just give milk to a snake. Well, that is the ideal, because God resides in all creation, so I have to love all, you see. Well, what did Christ say on the subject? He had to say the same thing practically in his own way. When he was asked, what should you do while treating other men? What did Moses say? Moses said, we are tooth for tooth and nail for nail. Then he said, well, on account of the hard heartedness, of your hard heartedness, he gave that commandment. Then he said, what have you to say? He said, I love thy neighbor as thyself. Then they put further questions to him, then what about those who are our enemies? Then he said, love thy enemies. You see, how vastly the self of the Master is expended to embrace all creation. This is our ideal of each man. So the point is now further, then God resides in every heart. So there are higher values of things, we are maintaining the body. You continue to maintain it, is truly speaking, the true temple of God, you see. Body is more valuable, you see, than the raiment, possessions and all of those. Life does not consist, man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesseth, mind that. But the life is more than the meat and body more than the raiment, you see. Body is the temple of God, you see. That's the very highest of all creation, I see. We have to make the best use of it. We are simply keeping it clean from outside and not from inside, you see. Temples of body outside, how clean we keep them inside and outside. The outer place, holy places of worship was made after the image of man, you see. Then true temple of the body is our own this self which we are carrying, you see. That is why I said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Further, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, the temple is here. So the body, man body which you are carrying with you, is the true temple of God. Until you enter inside, you come above it. You come above the body consciousness, you do not know yourself, and as such, because you do not know self, yourself, you cannot know God. It is the soul that has to realize and see God, you see. Nor the flesh, nor the body. This is what is said. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruptible inherit incorruptible. We have to keep this man body, which is the true temple of God, clean and pure, you see. Blessed are they that who are blessed, who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. So this is what is laid down by all who came in the power. That is what again further it is said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man and he will dwell with them. This is not on the Bible, I am quoting to you. Other saints have also said the same. Body is the true temple of God. It is the true mask. You see? You turn towards God, you will have to find him where. When you come to your master, what does he tell you? Well, look here, you are out to God, then where to find him? People generally think that to go to a temple, you will find God in the temples, you see. And you find God in a mosque, another holy place of worship. Well, those are made by the hand of man, you see. God does not dwell in the house is made by the hand of man, is it not? This is what he said. So that is why we have to just look at what they say, what they tell us. Well, look here, holy places of worship are made after the image of man. True temple is the body of man in which you live.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk given by Master Kirpal on the 3rd of August, 1955, in Hollywood, California. Our reader this evening is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
Good evening. We continue our question and answer sessions from The Light of Kirpal. Last time we were on Chapter 42, titled Ojas, the Power of Chastity. Question, but he means that Ojas helps to increase the intellect also, I think, Master. Well, chastity helps everything. If oil is oozing out of a burning lamp, then how long will that go on giving you light? That's the foundation on which the building is raised. Your physical body, your intellect, your everything. There was one Swami Ram Tirth, principal of Government College in Lahore. He said sometimes it is so happened the very brilliant students failed. Very brilliant students who used to stand first in their classes failed their examination. When they went into it, they found that they lost their vital fluid the night before. Kabir says, a dog, when it indulges in coition, it remains sad for a month. That affects it 1 month. What to speak of men who indulge daily? I need not say these things so openly, but that cuts the very roots of the life. So chastity is life, you see. I think you will really find those who observe chastity, say even for 1 month, they think that perhaps it is part of their diet, but that is wrong. So chaste, normal life is all right as prescribed by the scriptures. That is why I say married life is no bar to spirituality if conducted according to the scriptures. When I write something, I mean something. You see, we simply read it. That's all. Your chart is with you. Self-introspection report. Look to that. If thoughts are right, you lose less. Suppose you lose 1 grain in thought, 5 grains in word, and 0.5 pound in action. Thoughts are very potent. These are a necessity to ensure your success. You want to go home this very birth, all right? Have it. You're sure to go. This side you try, but the other side you drain out. What is it? You cannot sit. Those who say, we cannot sit, our mind does not allow us. This is all due to failure. In the great legend of Ramayana, the other side opposing Rama was to fight. From that side, some man came up to fight. He had observed 12 years of strict celibacy, chastity of life. But from Rama's side, Lakshman, who had been chaste all his life, was selected to fight. History shows that. I've read Napoleon's life. By hearing his name, the whole of Europe trembled. What happened when he was caught at the Waterloo battle? The story goes that he had fallen in this failure the night before. What a miracle is the life of the great man. In everyone's life, you will find this is the drawback, the biggest drawback in the majority. Saying is something, but living is something else. In India, there were 3 or 4 invasions from the West, from Persia, Afghanistan. Prithviraj stood against them and drove them out. When finally he was captured, the reason given for that is the same reason. The day following, you are not in your sound thought, you see. You may have a boost by your outward drink and this and that thing. I don't think you've been given this very vivid view on the subject before. Facts remain like that. You may have a very simple life. From that, you'll bloom. Your every power will be enhanced. When you have got no light for your own, how can you understand the light? Visualizing won't do. And these are people initiated by so many masters in the world. This is a failure in them too. Even the heads, they've got no control over their discharges. I never dreamt of this in my life. That helps in goodness when you can store in you. Nature does not spare anybody. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These are very clear words. When you have got no power of ojas, how can you see God? How can you rise above? It will give a boost to have something, then you have to maintain it. You see, live in a normal way, not given up to everything. An example is given to bring home the things to the people at large. The Lord of Food complained to Lord Shiva, "People eat me too much." Then he replied, "Those who eat more than really required, you can eat them up. Then whatever is not digested, that brings disease. If you are eating too much, you are not able to digest anything. Those who indulge in too much in anything, ultimately they are not able to enjoy that. These things eat them up." That is why, you know, self-introspection is most necessary, for which we care little, very little. So don't spare yourself. Yes? Question. When someone overeats, that affects chaste thoughts? Master, yes. When food is not digested, you are not able to sit for meditation. You are drowsy. So long as your stomach can digest, it is all right for 1-2 months, a year or so. After that, if you overeat, you are not able to digest. It means the same thing, that food and drink eat you up. You are not able to digest it, and that food gives no power, no strength. How do diseases come up? You see, whatever food remains undigested brings on all diseases or overwork. Three things kill a man: hurry, worry, and food that is not digested. You see the very importance of it. It is very good you put that question on ojas. Yes. Question: is loss of semen during the night strictly a matter of thought during the day? Master: surely. When you look into the eyes of others, others affect you. Eyes are the windows of the soul. That is what I was saying to you last night. Don't look into the eyes of others. Maybe one sex or the other, you will be affected, weakened. If you have control over yourself and you can affect others, that's another thing. In the time of discipleship, we must be very careful. When you have grown up and you have got a sheet anchor, you cannot be affected by others. You'll give life to others. Sometimes we say, well, Master talks lovingly to everybody. He talks lovingly from his soul. You see, not from the body. Others who talk very lovingly talk from the level of the body. Love that arises from the body and ends in the soul, that is love. Generally, all this love which ends in the body is called lust. These things are not differentiated in books, I tell you. What is that lust? Lust is love, your love, which arises out of body and ends in the body. By sitting here, by radiation, you have a boost to go into the beyond. That's love. That is why that love is called charity, you see. Yes. Question: How strict should we be about associating with other people, even any initiate? We shouldn't make any distinction. Master, meet socially so far as is necessary. If you have to meet in a satsang or anywhere, you should think of nobody else except God. Satsang is only satsang when no other thought creeps in your mind except God. When you are there, you are socially meeting, kissing, that is no satsang. Once I reported one place, they began to embrace children. I stopped them. This kind of love will spoil your lives. If glasses are stacked in one place, they will strike, clash against each other and be broken. Is it not so? We are not yet the master of our body, you see. We are dragged like anything. So during the period of discipleship, you must be very careful. Even after that, those who are not in full control of themselves, they also go down. We have to be very careful. When I prescribed the diary, it really meant something. Really. Now times have changed. Nobody can stay with anybody for a longer period. They must get something. And they are given, but this should be maintained by self-introspection. First, something is given. At initiation, some experience of light and sound is given. That goes all right for some days, but if your life deteriorates, that leaves, goes away. God is life, love, and light. You get life. Chastity is life. We simply read things. We don't go into the bottom of them. God is life, love, and light. So our life comes from where? Chastity. These things are not preached. That's the pity. They simply tell you to go do this performance, do that performance, etc. If your life is really pure, then even one thought will help you. Thank God with all these things, you get something through the grace of our Master. But we have to maintain it. Normal life is all right. Yes, you wanted to say something? Question. In regards to thinking, somebody once made a statement, I think, therefore I am. But that's not really true, because I am even if I don't think. Is that correct? Master, you are a conscious entity, and thinking arises from consciousness, is it not? How can one who is not conscious think? So that is why when you say, I think, means you are conscious. We generally use words and don't go into the bottom of what they represent. We are conscious entities. Then that consciousness works through the level of brain, through intellect. Consciousness helps you to think. So that is why it is said, God is all intellect. All wisdom, all love, all life. So God is working. He is all consciousness. You are a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. You have got the same power, the same thing in you. Life, light, and love. Once, as president of World Fellowship of Religions, I gave out my address to this very point. Life, light, and love. People use these words, but they don't follow what they actually mean. One who is given up to outward losing of all this power, Ojas is never patient, I tell you. That's the outward symbol, like milk boiling. He will bubble out, can't control himself. That's the one thing you'll note. One who is very strong, he considers calmly. This is one thing that will come out. You can judge from that. You see, if one becomes wild for the time being, cannot control himself, that is a sure sign that he is not chaste. He is losing all the power. For the building that has no ground underneath, a strong foundation is required. You may then have so many stories raised up high on that, but if the ground is weak, then it will fall down. Masters have been given this example in another way. They say the walls which are made of sand, how long will they last? Walls made of sand, will they last? How long? So chastity of thought, chastity of everything, of all outgoing faculties, sight, audition, feelings, the word, brahmacharya, is used for that. Brahmacharya is the way of life, way of living to find God. Brahmacharya means self-introspection, a means which enables you to find God. The other word is sadachar, ethical life. Brahmacharya, Brahm means God, and acharya means way of living. That is not only controlling the semen within you, but controlling all your outgoing faculties. Control your tongue, control your thought, think no evil of anybody else, don't be affected by what you hear from others. If others say, I have seen this and that thing, don't believe it. Yes. Question. So chastity is the foremost of all the virtues. Master, well, it is the foundation of the physical body. The body is founded like a building depending on the strength of the foundation. Even thoughts affect the very child in the womb. A mother's thoughts affect the child in the womb. Some children are very lusty. That is due to the parents. While the child is in the womb, we must be quite chaste, calm, loving. That will affect the child within the womb. He'll be born like that. The reactions of the past and the reactions of mother's thoughts both affect and form the child. This subject is very long, you see. Something more that will be a help to you, animals and men. There is a vast difference between the two. When an animal becomes pregnant, no male animal will touch her. But in man, we are the highest in all creation. What do we do? Shameful, is it not? My hint is sufficient. I need not go too far into it. We don't observe that. With any subject that will be thrashed out, threadbare, to bring home the truth at the bottom, you see? Question. Many of the initiates, I'm sure, will be interested in this, besides myself. If we had unchaste lives before we were initiated, how long does it take? Is there a time before we are adjusted? Master, I tell you, if you take poison, that affects you. But take no more poison, you see? To fall in sin is manly, but to remain there is devilish. You see, that woman who committed adultery was brought to Christ. He said, all right, what do your scriptures say? That such a woman should be stoned to death. All right, let her stand there and you stone her. And who shall stone her? Who has not felt guilty of that at heart of hearts? Nobody dared. And he said to her, all right, go. Do no more. Our master Baba Savan Singh used to say sometimes, when out of the whole gathering one would say, Master, I have committed adultery. Well, can anyone bear the burden of his sin? Who would dare to say? Then he told him, all right, do no more. Just like that. We should stop somewhere. The poison eaten can be cleaned, you see. If you stop eating more poison, then it's all right. So, there is hope for everybody. Question. Sometimes I have a feeling that I should follow a certain pattern of life, like during the day, and I say, well, I'm going to meditate this much, and, you know, I try and follow everything you say, but I lose touch with my desires because I do everything out of habit, and I found that if I try and think every moment, what does my soul want, that I am able to follow your teachings a lot better, because I keep my desire pure. Master, I think I have given reply very straight and you have not followed it. The very view stated in your purpose is due to that. If you cannot live up to what he says, you have no power within yourself. You are losing. You are very loose with that thing. These things should not be thrown in the face. That is due to lack of doing your diary. Like a hard taskmaster, don't spare yourself. He within you does not spare even me, I tell you. Of course, God bless you. This means that there is a very strong, vigilant watch to be kept. By mentioning myself, it means that Son of Man must fall down unless he has got some boost above, some sheet anchor within him. I am giving you something very true, a very basic thing to which you pay little care or nothing. We are already given up to sensual desires, enjoyment, in one way or another. So long as we are just stuck fast there, how can we rise above it? There should be some discipline. If a doctor comes to you, you have got fever, and he says don't take any solid food, you have to live up to it. This is the path of discipleship. I am explaining to you, you have to be very careful. But if you live up to it for a certain time in a particular way, that will become your habit, and you will live longer for it. In that way, it will turn into nature. You won't be able to do otherwise. So why not make the best use of the habit of the mind, you see? Do one thing today, tomorrow, a day, month or so, then naturally you will have the trend of the mind to go there. Make your mind a friend, you see. All right, let's do this. When habit is formed, then you are saved. Mind has a tendency to bring you back to earth, that's all. And a clod of earth, which you throw in the air, maybe with very much force, that will come down to the earth. That's her origin. Earth, you see, candle is lit, flame will go up, even upturned, then it will go up. So long as we are bound down to the outgoing faculties, our thoughts, our thinking, our consciousness cannot rise. That will become habit. Once we learn how to rise above it and have the right inkling, we every day have that bliss. Naturally, mind won't like to come down. We have to work for it. Some boost or some capital is given. That is a great concession, but maintain it. Next chapter, consciousness, reincarnation, and free will. Question: why can man lose his human position and go to lower planes? Master: God is all consciousness, and our soul, being of the same essence as that of God, is also a conscious entity. If this conscious self comes in contact with higher consciousness, it will become more conscious. It won't return to lower planes. But if this conscious self identified with the material, which is less conscious, naturally it will not go higher, but to the same consciousness or to lower planes of consciousness. All are conscious. Even the animals are conscious. Birds are conscious. But there are lesser degree of consciousness. Man is more conscious. Animals are less conscious. Birds are still less conscious. If our consciousness becomes identified with the material things, naturally it will be lowered and will have to go to a lower plane. In man body, we have the privilege of coming in contact with all consciousness. If we do that, we won't even return to man body. But if it comes in contact with the material things, its consciousness will be lessened. It is a sort of death of the soul, as the saints have called it. It is not actually death, but the consciousness being lowered. Word or nam power that got into expression is all consciousness. If soul comes in contact with that nam power, it will grow more conscious, you see. If it becomes identified with lower materials, things, naturally that consciousness will become morbid and will naturally go to that lower plane. If you come in contact with the higher consciousness, you will become more conscious. If you come in contact with, identified or imbued with the lower consciousness or the material things, you might say naturally your consciousness is lessened. Each man has to go to his own plane. But such cases are few. Question: does each incarnation in nature work out specific karmas? Master: only in the man body. They are bound in lower forms of creation. They are not free. In man body, man is bound to some extent and free within certain limits. When a railroad line is set, the train will run over it. You are given the railroad line with the freedom of laying the tracks in whatever direction you like. So, in the man body, we are free to a certain extent. All other forms are bound. There is no question of freedom. Question: how can soul, once obtaining man body, go back to lower forms of creation? Master: I have replied already from the common sense point of view that if you come in contact with the higher consciousness, you are not to return. If you come in contact with lower consciousness, naturally your consciousness is lowered. Each soul has his own plane of consciousness. Man has got most. If there is the possibility of going up, there is also the possibility of going down. The saints have referred to this as the death of the soul. Death of the soul does not mean soul dies, but that the consciousness is lessened. I have replied from a very common sense point of view. How is it possible? You see, we do not know the language of animals, but some dogs are very more familiar, more conscious, you see, than others. Similarly, that is the state of other animals also. So this is given from a common sense point of view, but I also added that there are few cases like that. If your consciousness becomes morbid, naturally you'll go to lower planes, down to that level. Pity it is that we do not know our past or the future. Those who do know that what I am telling you stems from a common sense point of view. Question: you have said that clue to one's past good karmas, one takes initiation from a saint, and just now you said that we have a certain amount of free play. Is it what we do with our initiation that is part of our free will? How much or little we apply ourselves, is that our free will? Master: No. You see, each man has his own background. Some get more, some less at initiation. Some advance quickly, others less quickly. But that is further modified. If a man who has got good background, as I think I have told you, some time before starts here, then stops further. Then another man who has got less background but is regular, puts in more time back there regularly, he will go further than the other man who only goes by fits and starts. This completes this chapter, and that completes my reading for today. I started midway through chapter 42, Ojas, the Power of Chastity, and with Master's grace, I managed to complete chapter 43, Consciousness, Reincarnation, and Free Will. Thank you, everybody, for your time and attention, and thank you, Master.
And thank you, Pradeep, for reading for us. There were 53 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So thank you all of you for your patient hearing, what I've come to know, what this is for you. I'll carry my sweet remembrance of you all and pray God may take you back home. That's all I can say, the best wishes I can have for all of you.